Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamish, non-binary-ish feminist ho who lives in New York City and whose pronouns are they, them, she, and her. And who am I joined by?
Me, Rob the God, one non-binary queer firefighting feminist with fatty pronouns, they, them, and daddy.
And Akua, your favorite bald-headed hoe-ass mental health professional. Pronouns she and her.
All right. Every episode of the Inner Ho Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-host talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally, we hit with interviews with insightful folks or do deep dive episodes on a topic of our choice. This week, we're throwing all that out the window. We're having fun. We're talking about that good old fucking nonsense, including but not limited to horror stories, anal beads, pissing on graves, aggressively horny songs, ex-boss porn stars, and so much more.
And if you'd like to follow along with this strange-ass conversation had on this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoUprising or tweet us at InnerHoUprising without the G on Twitter. We're also at InnerHoUprising on Instagram and Facebook.
All right, let's hop right into things. This is a segment called Fuck Yes or Fuck No.
No.
This is the one where one of us reads headlines related to sex, love, and dating, and the other people decide, fuck yes, let's learn more, or fuck no, let's never hear of that ever again. Are y'all ready for the first headline? I'm so excited. Let me tell my Siri, set a timer for 15 minutes. All right, let's get into things. Our first headline reads, these are all redacted so they don't know. Chess world rocked by rumors of anal beads and artificial intelligence.
Chess?
Fuck yes or fuck no. Yes, chess world, like pawns.
Yeah, I need to know. Because what? How did we get from chess?
How about you, Rob? Fuck no. Okay, so is this a democracy?
Nah.
Let's get a general consensus going on then. Okay, by a few months. All right, this next one says 50 Cent sues medical spa company for alleging he had penis enlargement surgery at their facility. Fuck yes or fuck no.
Fuck yes. Unanimously.
Just simply off the fact of being from Queens and the fact that 50 Cent is like kind of an asshole, we have to talk about these kinds of things. Not that there's anything wrong with penis enlargement surgery. So this is from the esteemed journalism website, balleralert.com. Written by journalist Stax on September 17, 2022, and it reads, 50 Cent is suing a medical spa company for alleging he had a penis enhancement procedure at their facility. The 47-year-old hip-hop mogul filed a lawsuit against Angela Kogan and her company, Perfection Plastic Surgery and Med Spa. The suit came after the company used a 2020 photo of 50 and Angela to promote their services. According to 50, the photo was taken during his trip to Miami. He agreed to pose for the picture because he believed Angela was just a fan. However, the photo has been used by Angela's company numerous times to highlight their products. It seems as though 50 was letting the image promotion slide until recently. Last month, The Shade Room, another esteemed website, posted an article about the growing popularity of Brazilian butt lifts and penis enhancements. The article featured the aforementioned photo and focus on Angela's med spa. The article also listed 50, Tiana Taylor, Odell Beckham as more of some of their celebrity clients. The lawsuit states that Angela wasn't authorized to use the photo to promote her business and falsely implied that 50 Cent underwent penis enlargement surgery. Nevertheless, the power creator maintains that he never had the surgery or any kind of surgery at Angela's med spa. He says that Angela's use of the photo has made him a target for ridicule and damaged both his professional and personal reputation. 50 is demanding the company stop using his picture for promotional purposes and is seeking unspecified damages.
Listen, 50 don't take care of his fucking kids. So,
what's the correlation between that statement, though, Rob?
The correlation is it be like that sometimes.
Wait, no,
that's the whole correlation.
Wait, no,
I don't think that not taking your care of your kids opens you up to defamation.
Okay. So, like, from what Rob is saying, there are other avenues to which we can ridicule 50 for, and penis enlargement is not one, my guy. It's not one at all.
That one meme where 50 Cent is like, why you say fuck me for?
No, I don't know.
Oh, well, I'll put it in the clip. That's this okay.
I'm like, what do you say fuck me for?
It's like, why you say I got a little dick for? But there's nothing wrong with having a little dick.
There is nothing wrong with having a little dick. You know what? I don't ever hear anyone talk about 50's dick. You know,
Luca Fox, I think, talk about his penis.
She did.
I think they talk about their sex life. Okay.
I mean, she went very gravely in detail, so I figured there was some penile talk up in there. But you're right. My bad. He doesn't deserve defamation.
And have I known him to be in a relationship with anyone besides Ciara and Vivica Fox?
I don't.
Yeah,
I don't know him to be in a relationship. Because he petty as fuck. I can't be in a relationship with that nigga.
He is really petty.
Probably he very, is. Very private so that people don't be fucking getting on him.
You cannot be in a relationship with a nigga like that.
Obviously, he having kids.
Yeah. No, I'm saying like one argument and this nigga is like
anything you say about 50 Cent, Rob is like, this nigga don't take care of his kids, god damn it.
Because that is there.
You're gonna like find where he lives and knock on his door for child support. You become an anti 50 Cent activist.
Yes.
Take care of your kids, nigga.
Shall we move on to the next fuck yes or fuck no?
Fuck yes.
Okay, there we go. So this next headline reads, how a New Jersey man captured footage of his mom's ex-husband that urinated daily on her grave.
I remember this. We talked about this.
We did not talk about this. I sent it to the email. Who did I talk about this with? I don't know. Was he pissing on graves, nigga? You trying to tell us something?
Maybe I just read the article.
Okay.
I think maybe I just read the article.
Whatever you vote, Akua, I vote for. I have to throw it.
I gotta think because I'm remembering the article now.
Oh no, now you're thinking about it. You already know it, so it's on me because you got the inside scoop.
Yeah.
All right. Fuck yes.
All right. We're getting some murky territory. Even when I put this in, I was like, is this something we want to talk about? But let's go.
Yeah, that's why I was like, should we? But you put it in there.
This is the last season. We got to go all out. We got to go balls to the walls. All right. This is written in the insider.com by Joshua Zitzer. I believe that's a photo of the man peeing on Linda Torello's grave. So let me go ahead and pop that link in the chat.
No, I don't need that. Don't pop that in.
You can't see a stream of... It's just a man standing like, you know that pee pose that people with penises be having?
This is pee-pee.
Yeah, he got the pee-pee.
The pee-pee.
The pee-pee pose. All right, let's go for it. When Michael Andrew Murphy, this thing has three fucking first names. When Michael Andrew Murphy visited the Tappan Reform Church Cemetery in Orangetown, New York, in April to mourn his mother, he was surprised to see a deli bag filled with feces on her grave. I thought it was just pee.
Oh, yeah, you went there, Sam. You went there. Yeah, Murphy territory, all right? This is murkier than you thought, huh?
It is. I didn't look at these before I put it in the document.
At first, he thought it might have been from a dog walker. But when a second and then a third showed up in the following weeks, he knew something, quote unquote, fishy was going on. Mm-hmm. Murphy said when he reported the incidents to the Orangetown Police Department, they asked him if he had any idea who might be leaving the bags of excrement. We said we didn't know anybody that really hates my mother in any way, he told Insider during a phone interview. But the 43-year-old New Jersey man was determined to find out who was behind the desecration of his mother's resting place. I would be too, because I'm going to beat your fucking ass.
Whoop your ass.
Murphy's sister asked the cemetery, situated about a half a mile from the New Jersey border, if they could install CCTV cameras to help identify the man. They agreed, and in July, Murphy installed a trail camera he had bought online. Sure enough, we started seeing images of somebody coming, but they weren't clear. The pictures were grainy, but he said that he could just about make out the face and the motions of a man unzipping their pants to urinate. The face was familiar, he said. It bore a resemblance to the to the man his mother, Linda Torello, who had died in 2017, had divorced in, guess the year.
Guess the year.
2017?
No, not 2017.
Oh, sorry. 2016.
It's further back than that, Rob.
1991.
It's further back than that, Rob.
1987?
It's further back than that, Rob.
1972.
1974.
Oh, my. That nigga was waiting.
Like, he's been doing this every day for 50 years.
Oh, my God.
Murphy said he raised, well, no, he hasn't been doing this for 50 years. He was waiting until the day she died, yeah. That would be wild if he was doing it for 50 years.
Again, you guys gotta let him keep doing it.
Murphy said he raised his suspicions to a cousin who informed him that his mother's ex-husband had a job at the deli in the next town over. Imagine if he took the job purposely just to do this.
Just to be close enough to piss on her grave.
Murphy had an idea. He went to that deli and bought a small amount of cheese. The bag it came in, he said, was an exact match of those that had been filled with the excrement and left on his mother's grave. We started putting two and two together and we knew it was him. I like the detective work. Nice. Determined to prove the identity of the man, Murphy started inspecting the black and white footage from the trail camera more closely. He realized that the timestamps on the footage showed that the suspect was visiting the grave between 6:14 and 6:18 every day. He was coming religiously every morning. Then, early in the morning on September 18th, Murphy and his oldest sister decided to visit the graveyard a little before 6 a.m. in an attempt to capture the incriminating footage. He set his iPhone on record and popped it up against another person's gravestone. Why did they have to get in it? Why am I in it?
Poor guy.
You are helping to solve a grave injustice. Okay? Yeah, from
even grave. In death. Ooh, wait, a grave injustice? Ba-bump. Psh. He nice. Said a prayer before hiding the phone with some sticks. He put it on airplane mode to prevent a notification. These are my type of people. I love this little detective work from scoopering their plan. Murphy returned to his car where he and his sister anxiously awaited the man's arrival. The man's car rolled up a little after 6 a.m. in the vehicle Murphy alleges was his mother's ex-husband. As he walked towards my mother's grave, I've never felt so enraged in my life. Very valid. Murphy had never met the man before, and his mother had never mentioned him. According to Murphy, all he knew about him was that they had a quote-unquote bad divorce 5 years before he was born, and that he was allegedly an absent father to his older sister. While they waited for him to leave the graveyard, Murphy said he and his sister were crying. Then they clicked play on the video. "We got this motherfucker," Murphy said. Elated while viewing 10 minutes of footage that showed someone urinating on his mother's grave. Murphy and his sister immediately went to the police and showed them the footage. That day, a charge of public urination was filed by Orangetown Police Department against a 68-year-old man from Bergenfield, New Jersey. Dang. In a statement to Insider, the police department said that a suspect had been identified with help from Murphy. The statement added that the incident is part of an ongoing investigation by the police department's detective bureau. But Murphy thought the misdemeanor charge wasn't harsh enough. "I said public urination, and that's when I lost it," Murphy explained. "So I took to social media. That's it. I'm going to humiliate this man. I'm going to out him in his own community." The news of Murphy's video, which was posted on Facebook, went viral. It was posted on Newsweek, Daily Mail, and the New York Post. "My goal was to get justice," he said. And although Murphy was able to identify the suspect, he's yet to work out why anybody would do such a thing. "It's messed up," he said. "My mother was a good person." The end.
Oh, so there's an extra tidbit that was not included in this article, okay, in that there was a passenger that rode with the urinator who they suspect to be his current wife.
And what the hell are they doing?
Are you... I'd be pissed as a current
wife.
Wait,
you'd be pissed?
Oh, Sissy, look here.
Love you, Sam. I love you so much.
As a current wife, to drive with you at 6 in the morning so you can pee on the grave of your ex-wife that you ain't spoke to in 50 years.
He's got to be, like, putting in extra work overtime. Like, you got to be taking me on trips and shit like that because we're doing this every day. I need to be tampered.
I need to know why. What did she do to you?
That's the question. Maybe his mother isn't a good person. Or maybe this guy's a misogynist.
I don't think that there's anything that warrants...
Oh, no, not that if anything she did will warrant
that
it.
That is true. But what is the reason? What's the reason?
What was the reason?
Exactly. Ooh, I would watch Cardi B solve mysteries like this.
Oh, that would be hilarious. Oh, I mean, she has that show... that she does things. I feel like it's the same.
She should solve things, though. We should up the ante. Oh, I'm playing tennis. Bitch, solve some crimes.
There's that show on Netflix with the celebrities who they like act out in some like fucking improv scenarios. And at the very end, they have to find out who the culprit was. And Cardi B could be on an episode where there's a grave person.
They should definitely
I'll pitch it to Netflix.
Yeah, yes. I would definitely watch that. All right, let me turn off this timer because that was three headlines. Let's move on to Fuck Is That Sound?
Hey, ain't nobody trying to hear that bullshit.
Oh. An analysis of horny and or problematic songs of yesteryear. Rob, this is your first time participating in this segment. What have it you is. Got for us?
So today I have So Anxious by Ginuwine. This is an illegally horny song. One of my favorite songs. It is so good. But then when you like listen to the lyrics, it's like, all right, bro, you are fucking, why are you so thirsty? Yeah, all right, so let's get it started. I'm about to serenade you niggas because I haven't done this in a while yet. 9 o'clock, home alone, paging you, wishing you come over my place. After a while, let me know. We can just keep talking about the last time you were here, what we did. No sleep till morning. Only bubble baths and back rubs. Hit me back. Girl, I hope you hurry because I'm so anxious. Meet me at 11:30. I love the way you're talking dirty. Said I'm so, so anxious. Girl, could you quit this stalling? You know I'm a sexaholic. All right, so that's the first verse. Mm-hmm. And the chorus, right? And then he just says that second part again. Yes. So I just want to point out that he begins at it's 9 o'clock. It's 9 p.m. This is not booty call hours, right? This is early. This is, I just got off of work. I just finished cooking. I ate. I took a shower. Like, I'm relaxing right now, mm-hmm. right? 9 o'clock. He's home alone and he's paging you. This is a dated song.
Shout out to pagers, though.
Niggas is a little, you know, a little dated.
Gen Z, do you know what a pager is?
Niggas like, Google, what is pager? but so just in general, this first verse is like they did bubble baths and back rubs. Like, this is real sensual, and he's basically like, I need you to answer the phone because I need this again. Mm-hmm. Like, you were so sensual and like, I know it's early, but I'm paging you because I need this. Like, I'm anxious. Like, you,
I need to know that this is what we're doing again.
Again, because you're not answering. I'm getting anxious. Like, it's building up. My heart's palpitating. I feel the physical symptoms in my chest because you're not answering the phone. You feel me though? Am I bugging?
I feel you.
I think it's wild, right?
He has sexualized anxiety disorder.
What?
He has SAD. But not the seasonal affective depression, yeah.
It's the SAD they don't talk about, but y'all not ready for that conversation.
Y'all not ready for that conversation.
Okay. So the next verse is, it's 10:10. Where you been? Did you get my message? Your expression is telling me that you've been thinking the same thing I've been thinking. You say you're working. Well, hit me just as soon as your shift is over. And I'll be waiting because I can't sleep for reminiscing about you and what we do. Hit me back. Ooh.
Ooh, okay.
All right, so let's go back to the first verse. It was 9 o'clock.
It was 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
Now it's 10:10.
Mm-hmm. It has been 70 minutes.
This nigga, you gonna page me to fuck. And an hour and 10 minutes, it's been too long.
It's been too long. You're gonna get back.
You gonna hit me again? Like, did you get my message? Nigga ain't working. Okay. All right, hit me back as soon as your shift is over. If I'm working and it's 10:10, am I really hitting you back? Tired. It's a night shift.
Can I add something? Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. I don't know if there was a video to this song. But when I listen to this song, the person he's paging is a nurse. Am I making that up?
So I don't have any recollection of that, Akua, but it tracks.
It didn't have, to my memory, it didn't have a person, an occupation. It was just him, like...
Was he, like, in a black place or something?
Or, like, a silver, shiny black place. Yeah. And, like, he breaks into dance. Because that's what they
did. That was most videos of the time, though. Yeah. So
that's what they did in early 2000s. He just broke into fucking dance and then continued the salacious. It was so good. But I don't remember the.
My mind has made it up that this person was a nurse.
She could be. A, you paging okay.
It makes and sense. Paging yeah, you are
her.
Paging
and her shift's about to be off at 11.
Or so she works at Applebee's.
That's too.
There are a lot of different shift works. So. There's a lot but of shout out to the nurses, though. She's a fire. She could be a doctor, excuse me.
Yes.
But then why are you fucking with this horny ass nigga?
I feel like a doctor you can't really call up when you're about to get off that shift. Like, yeah. You might be stuck.
If there is no hit me, like, I guess I'll hit you when I'm done, nigga. But
what's the modern day equivalent of this? Is it like, where you at? Where you at? Text messages it's over and over. You up? You up? Yeah.
Yes, it's a you up text.
It's a you up and you go, yeah, what's up? And it's a what you doing text. And then, but you don't answer the what you doing text for an hour and 10 minutes. So he follows up with the emoji.
Or the eye emoji.
The two side eye emojis.
Yeah.
The two open eye emojis. Like, I'm literally staring at you. Are you not in?
I'm looking in your soul.
But yeah, I didn't get into the rest because of time, but the rest is just him being
too horny.
It's like, as soon as you hit the door, I'm gonna pull you down on the floor. As soon as you touch the bed, make you back up everywhere. As soon as, before we even hit the lights, before we light the candle lights, there's something I want to bump and grind. There's something that is on my mind. This, so basically, in gist, to wrap it up, to circle back around, this nigga is whipped. That pussy was so fucking good that it wasn't just the pussy, it was the intimacy. Because he's not even just saying, like, you felt good, you look good, you taste good. He's saying the bubble bath
experience,
the bath rolls
experience.
Mm-hmm. I want to be next.
This nigga was not like, he didn't experience physical intimacy as a child. He's touch starved.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. He's not well.
He wasn't picked up as a baby when he was crying. So now that he's getting taken care of, he's like, I
literally need you. It's actually, it's also giving nut immediately vibes.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. That's why she's not answering us. She's like, she's so depressed. She's like, oh my fucking God.
They have two different fantasies in their head. He was like, this is the best thing ever. She was like, nigga. This is the wackest sex.
I didn't even come.
Because as we say, nut immediately, it be like that. It's the laying there. And doing nothing else
and
after.
Then you did nothing,
And even if that wasn't the first experience, it definitely was going to be the second experience because that nigga is on edge. Okay?
Yeah.
He said as soon as you hit the door,
I'm gonna like, shorty couldn't.
You got to do a courtesy beat your meat if you're that horny, I think.
Okay. Yes.
Like, just to get it out your system. Because
yeah, exactly. So you're not texting me wild crazy because then I'm getting turned off.
Like, why are you paging me this?
I'm at work, right, nigga.
There's a patient in cardiac arrest. And you're like, where are you?
Someone died in my hands, bro.
Like, can I at least sit down, get a glass of wine?
Right.
He's like, no, as soon as you hit the door.
Covered in blood.
Could you imagine you open the door and nigga's like, I'm going to pull you down on the floor?
Don't touch me.
I really see is, like, I see her knock on the door, he opened, and he just like grabs me.
It's like a cartoon.
She's like, yo. Like, bro, like, it literally, like, it's been 2 days. Why are you in this already? You need to date other people. I want to see other people.
I want to see other people.
That is So Anxious, aka So Horny by Jimmy.
That was a
I love it. I love it.
I think that was his album Senior. It's a great song, though. Great song.
It is a really great song. Thank you, Genuine, for your service. All right, let's go into, like, other, like, what the fuck is wrong with this nigga song? So I have, like, just three small selections that I'd like to go back on memory lane and revisit with you folks. And they are redacted, because that is my thing. So my first little mini thesis is, what the fuck was up with Sean Kingston? So we got Beautiful Girls from
he
the year 2007. And we have You're Way Too Beautiful, Girl. That's Why It'll Never Work. You Have Me Suicidal When You Say It's Over. Damn all these beautiful girls. They only want to do you dirt. They'll have you suicidal when they say it's over.
And the fact that we were really singing and jamming.
I always thought it was weird. I always thought it was a bit odd. Because I don't
need. Odd, but it was a bop.
I didn't remember him saying when they say it's over. So I thought it was just beautiful girls. They'll have you suicidal. And I was like, why does he feel that way?
Nigga just cut off the end part. Like, no, he is manipulative.
Because I think that I was thinking correctly as a child. Because, like, that's red flags. Alarm bells were going off. No, yeah. This man wants to kill himself.
Maybe I didn't have the red flags because I just thought it was a pop. It wasn't until like listening to it maybe a few years ago.
Yeah.
I was like, oh no, this is like literal like manipulation. Like, he's a horrible person. He said all of these beautiful girls. They only wanted to eat dirty. I might have to kill myself. Like what?
It's giving incel before incel was incel.
I was just like, he's had a poor dating experience. He's not coping well with that. Mm-mm. I'm a bop along. Because that's what they put their hurt in the feelings.
That
was
a they put great their hurt cover. In the song. Like,
it was a cover of what?
Not cover.
Somebody.
I
was like, somebody else was beautiful and suicidal.
Wait a minute. But it was the first time I had heard that sample, like the doop doop doop. That's like it's a bop. But also, I want to point out that he was 16 when he made that shit.
That's even more disturbing to me.
He was 15 when he made it because he had a super sweet 16 on MTV.
He did. After he became famous. He did.
So he was like 15 years old. The whole thing was like taking place in high school.
Well,
like
he was
really young. Time. So for him, I'm sure that did not seem even a little odd at all.
So the modern day equivalent of that is like, I'm going to KMS. You know, like when people on Twitter are like, ah. Kill myself.
Oh, you're so hot on camera.
Yeah.
The funny thing is that my partner just showed me that. He showed me something that had that acronym. I was like, what is KMS? And Dave was in the room, so he wouldn't say it out loud. And I was like, he was like, you're a therapist. You know what this means. I'm like, nigga, no, fuck, I don't. Fuck's KMS.
Yeah. Who has not opened Twitter in 6 months, okay?
He made a gesture. I was like, oh, these children and the acronyms, Lord, I can't keep up. But has Sean Kingston made a song after that? Because that's all I know.
One time he got in like a jet ski accident in Jamaica and he was really injured. And then after that, I never heard nothing about this man. But I hope he's okay.
I heard something recent, but anything he's made was never a pop like that. That's
like the time that he said he would kill himself.
Yeah.
It's his magnum opus.
That shit went like, I don't know if it went multiple. It had to have gone platinum. Like it had, that shit was the equivalent of viral in 2007. Like
the two things Rob feels most passionate about: 50 Cent paying child support, and how good of a bop Beautiful Girl.
I'm sorry, I don't feel bad. I'm not sorry at all.
No, you're passionate. Horrible, I appreciate that.
I love that song.
Let's move on. Let's talk about what the fuck was up with LL Cool J that one time. So this is All I Have, 2002, by Jennifer Lopez and LL Cool J. All my pride is all I have. Your pride is what you had, baby girl, and what you have. I think that that's enough to talk about.
That's it right there. Because it's always that part that I'm like...
Wait, what do you mean by that?
What do you mean by that?
The whole time, J-Lo's like, I'm trying to figure this out. And he's like, you're not. I am literally all you fucking got. I am literally all you need. Person. She's really trying to like, I'm just trying to take care of myself. I don't fucking care. I never asked you if you were trying to take care of yourself. I'm letting you know I'm from Hollis. First and foremost.
It's a bad episode for niggas from Queens this episode, huh? Yikesy dicey. I feel exposed. All right, that's all I had to say generally about that.
He's been wilding from day one. You can do an entire podcast of Fuck Is That Sound based on LL Cool J's like, songs.
I really need to know who thought they were doing something with that line. Like no one was just like,
and the delivery, right? Your pride is what you have, baby girl. I'm what you have.
Like he was spitting on a mic, like literally like saliva was spitting.
Spit
on
came
a mic.
Out.
He was yelling.
Spit came out, yeah.
Fuck it.
God. Am I supposed to feel good about that? I don't know.
I was singing that part.
Like, oh man, he loves me.
You exactly.
Promise that you had, baby girl. I'm what you had. Be and easy. Don't make decisions when you're mad. This nigga's manipulative.
He's mad manipulative. It's not good.
And it makes me feel like you're making a fool out of me in these streets. Like, yeah. You're just telling me that I can't even be.
Bitch, you don't even got no pride.
No. Like, you're not
you
allowed.
Got me and that's it, okay? You're so calm down. Okay. Calm down.
J-Lo's
sweetie.
Better than me. I would not have been on that song. I would not. Get the fuck off my track, bro. Get somebody else.
Or at least do a response. Shit. Do a response to it. Like, give that, like, that Kendrick Lamar song where they're arguing. Like, fight back. Stand up. Stand up.
Stand up.
All right.
Oh, good.
This might be, like, extra dark with the grave pissing thing, but whatever. It's the last season. So my last thesis is we already know what is wrong with Mystical, but we got to talk about it. Shake Your Ass in the year 2000. I came here with my dick in my hand.
I came here with my dick in my hand.
Don't make me leave here with my foot in your ass. Be cool.
I just...
Why is it there, man?
I don't want to talk about
it. Why weren't your hands in your pocket? And why wasn't your dick in your trousers? Why'd you have to do that?
He's literally rapping about the kind of person that he is.
Exactly. Like he warned us.
Yes, it's like the equivalent of... remember when Bobby Shmurda and that whole group went to jail and they were like, yeah, they're rapping about what they did in the songs. It's literally Mystical saying like, no, I'm literally a horrible person.
It's like Bill Cosby with the Spanish fly joke. Yeah.
And everybody's like, yeah,
well, give him my dick in my hand.
Now the thing is,
I would never come with my dick in my hand.
No, I know that. Is there a euphemism or some type of statement that's like, when you say you have your dick in your hand, it means you don't have anything else? Somebody Google that for me.
No, you Google that for yourself, man.
I can't right now. Samantha, Google that for me.
I don't know what's going to come up. I have my dick in my hand.
Oh, no, it's like I have nothing else.
I'm Googling it. I'm probably going to get some porn. Dick in my hand, Urban Dictionary. Meaning to have nothing to do, waiting, no current prospects or opportunity. It comes from the 1960s. Like, who is an old soul? When the number of males at any given orgy. Who wrote this?
I've heard it used like that, but Mystical did not use it that way.
Well, he made it seem like
different.
Yeah,
his penis out in his hand. Like, yeah, you know, just sitting here, oh, ain't nothing to do. I'll fucking walk around with my dick in my hand. No, that is weird. But yeah, I'm sitting here, you know, got nothing to do, dick in my hand. Like, but even that's weird. Just stop saying dick in hand and everything.
Wait, can we say a dick in the hand is worth two in the bush? Sorry.
No, we can't. We actually can't say that.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
It makes me tired. Sounds a little
hilarious. I can't say that. But I did like it. I liked where you were going.
I did.
Yeah, I did like that.
I got to think about that a little later. All right, let's move on. Let's leave all of that in the past. Okay, let's take a little break. As some of you may have already heard, this season is the last season of the Inner Hall Uprising, but we're still on our bullshit. We're talking about dicks in hands and nonetheless, you know? So you gotta buckle up because now until the end of November, you're in store for the last dance, the final hoorah, our swan song, our last act, our farewell appearance, famous last words, the combination, and as you can see, it's good. But if you have any special memories or moments of Inner Hall Uprising that you'd like to share with us, please drop us a line. It will make us feel, how will it make you feel? To hear all the people, you know, kind of reminisce. Warm.
Affirm.
Mm-hmm. I got my coochie in my hand.
I came in with my coochie in my hand. Don't make me leave my foot in my ass. Oh, my foot in my ass? Oops.
Yeah, it's a whole loop. It's a whole loop.
Some sort of body horror is happening. All right, yeah, we'll feel like that and all that good stuff. And then we'll also play them on the final episode, which is really cool. So to share your thoughts, you can leave a voicemail to 404-491-9158. And that number will be in the show notes. And again, if you want to take out a little notepad or your notes app or whatever, that number is 404-491-9158. Thank you for... Okay, 404-491-9158. Hey. Oh, there we go.
That's it.
They can see that. Rob wrote it down in front of was that a recipe that you wrote it down on?
No, it's just a grocery list.
Okay. Well, thank you for rocking with us for 10 seasons. Let's get back to the show.
He humped a male dog. The owner said, this dog must be gay.
Let us start back with a segment that we like to call Animals Do Be Gay, though. The segment where we acknowledge and discuss the diverse sexual identities of animals. Rob, you got a cool one, right?
Do got a cool one, and it's the last one, so it's a very fitting. And this is about the, you know, I didn't fucking Google how to say any of this shit, so y'all
okay.
About to get the
we can try it together.
These Latin names, oh yeah, because I mean, listen to the episodes and Sammy sounding shit out for real. But
so, I had hooked on phonics when I was a child.
Me too. It didn't work. So this is the Rosevale Fairy Wrasse. Makes sense. Latin name. The final name is Cyril Halbrus Fenma.
Yeah.
Feels like it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's found in the Maldives. Pretty sure that's how you say that. Specifically in the Indian Ocean. Mm-hmm. And the name is a nod to the Maldives national flower, the pink rose, which mm-hmm. is Fenma. And that means rose in the local. Sound it out for me, baby. Devi.
Sure.
Language. Y'all, I'll be trying. These are some big ass fucking words.
We say a lot of words on this podcast.
We do. And I mean, I am cultured. Let me not get it twisted.
There's a lot of different cultures.
That's not our culture, okay?
Yeah, this is some new stuff I'm learning. But you learned it too. So that's what pink roses in the Devi culture, the Devi mm-hmm. language, my fault, mm-hmm. local language. So it's found in the Mesophotic or Twilight Zone. It lies beneath the sunlit shallows and the dark, deep ocean, 150 meters down.
Holy
and it contains its own distinct mix of species, deep vibes, still being explored. Like they had this whole portion of this article where they're talking about how they explore it. They have to carry mad tanks down with them because the pressure is so strong and they have to descend super duper slow in order to not get sick and die. So the wrasse species, which is a whole species of wrasse fish, they generally change their sex and appearance as they age, becoming more colorful as they can mature from female to male, which is the most common ways that if a fish or some kind of water species changes, they usually do go from female to male, very rare from male to female. The males put on their finest colors and impress the female fish. And it obviously works because there's so fucking many of them. They be picking these shits up for exotic fish shops and they just be like, oh, we're gonna fuck. And they make more of them. They're just like super abundant. Please don't make these go extinct because you're trying to look for gay fish. Mm-hmm. And it's draped in rainbow, like the photo of the fish. This is a literal rainbow fish. I don't know why they call it pink, like rose veiled. Like it is. Red and blue and yellow.
It's Roy G.
A literal prism.
The ultimate LGBTQ
animal. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Specifically, what I wrote specifically was, I mean, it's a trans fish draped in rainbow. This is our mascot.
This is our mascot. This is it. We found yes. it. We did it.
I don't care. I'm going. What is it? Anthropomorphize? Yes, is that when you make an animal into like a human? Give him yes. human mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Damn, Sam. Anthropomorphize. There you go. I'm anthropomorphizing this fish and I'm saying that it's trans. Okay, and it's queer. And the quick reason why they change sex, it's usually driven by the loss of a dominant male, mm-hmm. allowing the largest or the formerly largest female to then take control of the harem, the group. So I got that from an article from The Guardian. Definitely check out the picture. It was on Twitter. I was looking for something that we haven't done before, something that was the combination mm-hmm. of gay ass animals. And
this is it.
Yes,
is it?
The gay universe
trans fish. Gay trans fish. Gay trans fish. You know what that reminds me of?
What?
This is not a gay or a trans fish, but when we're speaking of fish, I always have to bring up this very specific photo. Please click it.
Bitch, if this is what I think it is,
I'm ready. Let me get to the fucking chat. I'm so excited. Oh my God. I didn't even have to look
we
at
always
the
have to talk about to why did Neo soul. Pose like a fish that one time? I'll never forget it.
All I saw was it said we want answers, Neo Compo, because you can see the.
and that's when I knew. I said, see.
It's the funniest.
Neil is literally the rainbow fish. And oh, he answered. Bad pics taken because I listen to photographers and I shouldn't have. So bad pictures make me gay. Wait, and I said, who said you were gay?
Exactly. We just think it's funny that you pose like a fish.
Why did he say that though? So it makes me gay? Nobody said that.
It makes me a gay trans fish. It makes me a gay trans rainbow fish.
I'm a Roseville Rass. I look like a Roseville Rass to you.
All right, let's move on. Let's keep barreling forward, full steam ahead. Let's get into politics.
Just another smooth exercise in political manipulation. Deceit and deception, callousness and indifference to our individual problems, and the disgusting playing of divisive politics.
the segment where we talk about legislative or public officials that affect or are involved with sex and relationships, LGBTQ folks and or sex workers. Rob, you got some personal insight. You got a scoop for this one.
I do. Basically, I was on Twitter and I saw this article, and it was a third party congressional candidate
for New York, right?
For New York, for Manhattan specifically, right? He's running for Congress, and he released a sex tape in order to bring awareness to sex work. He's pro sex work. He wants to, I'm going to say, legalize sex work. And this was his way of garnering attention and spice for the issue. And I scrolled past it. I was like, okay, whatever. I don't give a fuck about this. And then I saw it again, and I looked at the picture, and I said, that looks like Lieutenant Ipkiss. And I was like, couldn't be. And then I saw the name, and the name is Mike Ipkiss. So inside scoop, Mike Ipkiss was my former boss on my very first military deployment. He's actually still in the military. And it's not news. Like, that shit is in the article. That nigga, he be wild. But now we know that you can openly do sex work in the military and not get kicked out. I hope he doesn't get kicked out, though. I don't think you deserve to get kicked out.
I don't think he deserves to get kicked out either.
But anyway, point is, how my interactions with him, I was very surprised because he did not come off as a person who was willing to, like, do something that outlandish. I would have been less surprised if he just posted porn. But more surprised
not that he porn that he was in.
Oh no, I would be less surprised if he posted porn that he was in. Like, if he was like
on porn, like, as a part of a campaign. Star. That's what you mean.
Of not a part of a campaign. As just a nigga who did porn. Was also in the
gotcha.
Military.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be less surprised. I was surprised that he did it as like a campaign stunt. I mean, I guess it works.
Well, I know his name now. So
yeah, exactly. It works. But he was like such an introvert. He was a very quiet person. I had no idea that he would ever be the kind of person to, you know, be open and honest about sex. But anytime that he's been interviewed in any way, he still doesn't really talk much about sex. So it still seems like he's like,
it's like a weird non sequitur. Like, oh yeah, okay, moving on.
I did this thing, and I just also don't want to talk about this thing that I did. I had a friend, she watched it for me, and we both work with him. And I was like, I don't want to watch it. But she's like, I want to watch it. She said it was softcore. You couldn't see his penis. She's like, it was just very softcore porn. Only thing he saw was his butt. And I was like, damn, he wasn't allowing for respect. But it was I mean, it's very interesting. It's the talk of the town in our group chats in my unit. we knew him, and he's probably gonna lose.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably gonna lose. But
voting is in November.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he was slated to lose anyway, so it kind of seemed like a last ditch effort to
last dick effort.
Get the voters on his
side. Yeah, get some. You said last one.
The last dick effort.
It was a last dick effort.
Maybe if it was a better video, he'd have more voters.
So yeah. I know Rob, you didn't watch the video, but there is a photo on cityandstate.com. Akul, will you look at it and describe this photo?
Yes, I will describe. It's a screen grab of
the porn, which is called Bucket List Bonanza.
Yes. So in the screen grab, you have who I'm assuming to be Mike Ipkiss. And mind you, if I saw the screen grab, I wouldn't be watching it either. But
yeah, he looks like Scott Kelly. Does anybody know who Scott Kelly is? The astronaut, the bald astronaut. He looks like him. Okay. Why don't you get some culture, people? No, I'm just kidding.
It is who I presume is Mike Ipkiss, and he is wearing a blue suit. It has to be. It looks like a three-piece suit. A blue suit, standing behind this woman. I think later in the article, it says her name, named Nicole Sage. He is in this blue suit. She is in what looks like a red cami with an orange cardigan, a gray cardigan or some sort of cover up on top of it. Mm-hmm. He has pulled it behind her shoulders. She's kneeling on the bed and he has come behind her, grabbing her shoulders. She's smiling. He looks like he's smiling. And it looks like a room at your local Best Western.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Very boring. Yeah,
It doesn't look sexy at all. It doesn't. It looks very stiff. It's giving stiff.
It's a step up from a motel, but no, it's looking very stiff.
Yeah, very stiff. It's giving leave out not matching.
Stiff what? Damn. That's a good description of stiff, though.
And, you know, the thing about this is that I might have been more, like, lenient with him, except that his stance on child support is that he does not support men paying child support for babies without
it circles back to 50 Cent. Oh, shit.
Yes, it does. It fucking does.
Now it all makes 50 sense. Cent
apologist or whatever. Like,
Rob said, I will soon become a parent and I want child support.
I want my money and I want it now. So I even thought about hitting him up and it's like, I wouldn't vote for you. Off the strength. That's all you have to say because like you're pro sex work and you're obviously anti-women. Anti-parent. Like, I can't really fuck with you. I can't get jiggy mm-hmm. with you. So mm-hmm. it's just very interesting all around. I haven't really given much thought to necessarily how I feel about it. And I guess it doesn't really matter how I feel because he's going to do what he's going to do. However, if I were to see him in real life, I don't know what I'd say to him.
Hey, Lieutenant Ipkiss, how's it going?
No, he's a major now. He's up there.
Okay.
Hey, Major Ipkiss, how was your, how'd that work out for you?
How'd that work out for you?
All right.
I can't believe that.
I've been holding this in, but like Mike Ipkiss, more like Mike Ipkiss my ass.
Also,
that you said I was holding it.
I want to point out that his last name
mm-hmm.
is, what is that fucking show? It is from Nickelodeon. The nigga holds the eyes. There's the one chick who's shaped like an umbrella.
Ah, Real Monsters.
Ipkiss was the nigga who held the eyes. But when I would look at him, I would always think, you have the same last name as the first name of a nigga who held two eyes. He just arms, a torso, and legs. And he held the eye, and the eyes, I don't even know if they blinked. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
It's a very interesting throwback.
Yeah, sorry. All right. Aged ourselves again.
Black China was tiger. Use fear, boom, boom. Check with tiger from China, boom. So China does be tiny, brother, boom.
All right, let us get into our last segment of the day. It is called Fuck You. This is where we read your listener letters, and we have a really interesting listener letter. So this is from Melaho. Melaho writes, I know, long time no hear from Melaho. Well, I've been preoccupied with trying to make this real estate license work, and I reconnected with my very first boyfriend from 41 years ago. Yeah, when I was 13, yes. It's been really cool. I love it too. Shout out to Melho. I will link an episode we did with her in the show notes. But I'm not writing for that. I'm in California right now because I acted in a post office holiday commercial. Look at her doing big things. And I started thinking of a title for a horror story, but instead I thought of Horror Story. I know you all love Halloween. As corny as it sounds, I was thinking, how cool would it be if you and all the listening hoes were to share some relationship and sexual horror stories. Nothing involving someone being abused or assaulted, but something that can be laughed at now. Since you're an amazing producer, I wanted to share this with you. Thank you, Melaho. Take care, loves, and happy Halloween. All right, so I actually got our good friend, Rodeca, who couldn't be on this episode, to record a horror story for us. So I'm going to give you guys the link. Rob, let me know if this works for you or not. And if possible, I'd like everyone to react and respond in real time as we listen to it.
Okay.
How's that sound?
Let's go for it.
Hello. This is Rodeca. I am not in the group episode this week, but I could not wait to share my horror story, my dating horror story. I do reference this often as the worst date I've ever been on. If you are by chance listening to this, I'm so sorry, but you were there. We were both there. You know what happened, bro. Anyway, So let's call this guy Brian for the purpose of this story. This is like smack dab in the middle of my whole phase. This is when I was just active every week. You know, the first time I was ever on dating sites in general. So I was really just like, at the time, I had only been in like two relationships and never really dated at all. So it was really exciting for me to be going on dates every week. And they were all really great. Like I was meeting people, just having really great experiences. So I was really looking forward to this one. We had been chatting, like things had gotten steamy. We were talking about like sex. He was talking about giving head and like it being bomb, da 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 da. I was like, we got a little fast pretty quickly, but I was definitely excited for it. So we ended up, the date was the movies. So we ended up seeing, I think it was Batman versus Superman, which I was going to say that should be a sign, but regardless, it was Batman versus Superman. we went... And the movie was good. Well, I enjoyed myself. But we were driving back and then we ended up kissing. First of all, the conversation was pretty interesting. He was a Haitian guy. And up until that point and thereafter, I don't know, you can call it daddy issues. I am Haitian myself. I just had a wariness about Haitian men in general because I felt like my heart would automatically get broken. Or I would just kind of get like a lot of sweet nothings. Mm-hmm. So, and he had a thick accent. So there was kind of like a moment, like moments where I didn't really know what he was saying. And I was just like, ha ha. But anyway, so that was, we managed to figure that out regardless. So either way, I did feel comfortable enough to hang out. And we were heading back from the movie and we kissed. Now, I don't know. I think this was the moment that I realized that kissing is a skill because he basically chewed my bottom lip to the point where I was like, why am I not saying something? Why am I not talking about how this is not fun? Like, he was trying his best. I was trying to get involved. But, like, every time he would, like, bite it, it would just be aggressive. Right. I was like, not aggressive. Like, he was, like, you know, being, I think he was just trying to be sexy. Mm-hmm. Anyway, still end up pulling up to the house. Is heated enough somehow through the kissing that I end up jerking him off. And it was no shame, but it was quick. And there was no warning. So it kind of got everywhere, including on himself and me. And I was just like, you know what? With the kissing, with the vibes, with everything, I'm going to just head my ass inside. And I go inside. I was like, you know what? You have a great day. I came back out. I actually came back out with a napkin and was like, you know, like so that he can help clean up. But I was like, you have a good night. I'm going to head inside and do my thing. So I'm inside and I'm looking out the window because I like to make sure I see people pull off. And I'm noticing that he's still there. And I'm like, this is, somebody going to kill me now? Like, is this it? Like, is this how it goes down? But I ended up calling him and faking like, hey, did you get home safe? And he was like, oh, like you could tell he was kind of like rustling around. And I could see him rustling around from my window. And he was like, oh, no, you know, my car broke down. And I was like, His car broke down in front of the house. And I was like, you know what? Let me give him another chance. No. Maybe the universe is saying something. No. He was talking about that bomb ass head. So hopefully I can get some of that. And, you know, turn this night around. He comes inside. We talk for a little bit, but he proceeds to give me head basically. And I say basically because I felt nothing. And I don't know if I was given head in a way that maybe I didn't understand. But at the time, it was giving nothing. It was doing nothing. And I was just sitting there thinking like, wow, did this man not just brag about the fact that he was good at giving head and he loved to do it? Is everything a lie? Anyway, so then... After that, I still let him hit y'all. I don't know.
No shame.
I don't know who I was at the time.
People.
But I was like, maybe the dick would be good. Do you hear the trend? Yeah, okay. I don't know. The dick was not good. It was to the point where I actually didn't feel anything and I was staring up at the ceiling. And I don't know if it was like, I doubt it was a size thing because I'm not a size queen in any way, shape, or form. It was just not, maybe I was not into it enough. It was just not going well. And I ended up, I shit you not, looking over at my phone And at one point in time, he had given me his address to order the Uber, but we ended up like getting distracted with the head and all that type of stuff. Looking at my phone and ordering the Uber and finessing it while this man is stroking away. And it's me like kind of putting my hand behind me and like pressing place order. Da, 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 da. And I was like, oh, the Uber's here. So the Uber comes. I'm like, all right, it's just a wild night. It's one of those things where you just write it off and that's it. But then he goes like, oh, where do I put the condom? And I was like, well, it's not used, so you don't have to like wrap it up or anything. You just kind of throw it in the garbage. I don't know if that's weird, but that's what I did. And he was like, oh, it is used. I came. And I was like, nah, you gotta go, bro. You gotta go, bro, because I got nothing from this night and you got everything, my guy. You got to go. I'm sorry that I laughed through this whole thing. I just haven't told this story in mad long. But the icing on the cake, the proverbial icing, other than the two times that I was iced as a cake for the night, was his car was still broken down in front of my house. Now, I was just thinking to myself, he could just pick up his car. We don't have to talk to each other because it's just not, the connection's clearly not there. But turns out, old girl, that being me, forgot her wallet in the car.
Oh.
So the next day, he comes to pick up his car. Horrible. And my mom, my mother, who I don't even talk to, but I lived with at the time, was like, oh, there's a person outside. And like, we're both standing there watching him. I said, Ma, I'm not going to go out there and talk to him. She's like, oh, he's a Haitian man. He did like, you know, she's trying to advocate for him. And I'm like, nah, I'm good. And she was like, and then I found out I left my wallet in the car. And she was just like, go outside, talk to him. I was trying to get her to go get it for me. I went outside. It was incredibly awkward. And this is the boldest I've ever been on some like, nah, I'm good. But I got in the car. He was like, I noticed something's different. Is everything okay? And I was like, bro, just, you know what happened, my guy. And that's what I started off with. If you heard this, you know what happened because I said the same thing to you. I was just like, it just wasn't there. Like at the end of the day, we don't shame. But you mm-mm. wasn't even advocating for my pleasure. It mm-mm. was very much a one-sided thing. And maybe I should have said something once, twice. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it definitely goes down as, I got my wallet. And it goes down as the most interesting and the worst date I've ever had. Brian / you know your real name. I have fond memories of you. And you can see that even years later, this story makes me laugh. So thank you, all I right. guess.
Thank you, Brian. And,
all right, hosts, I hope y'all's stories is just as fun or maybe a little better. See y'all.
Thank you, Brian.
That was hard.
You got a shout out to Brian for the content. That's that OG Interhole Uprising type story.
Okay.
he did his thing by not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
All right, quick reactions to that until we move into some of my favorite stories. But...
Oh, that was quite a story, mm-hmm. quite an experience. Mm-hmm. So glad we can laugh about it now.
I'm happy you didn't try again.
Happy. I'm happy that you knew.
Good job,
that
Rebecca.
Was it for you.
Good job.
The learning experience. You go, okay, if the nigga can't give head, and if he can't kiss, he probably can't give head.
It's the the continued logic, you know, if this equals that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yes.
We live and we learn.
Yes. All right, cool. What's going on? What happened? What happened?
All right. Now you know, Sam, that my memory is foggy. So please just back me up where we can.
Right.
For those that don't know,
yes,
my brain likes to remove all adverse experiences from my life. Yes. It just wipes it straight clean.
For sure.
This being one. But let us take a nice long ride back to the ages of when How to Get Away with Murder first came out. Is this like 2012?
Nah, this is like 2014.
Okay, yeah, close enough. I don't know.
Time. Something like that.
All right. So you have a young black girl sitting on her couch. Just beautiful, drinking wine, also on her period, minding her business, but wanting to watch How to Get Away with Murder because never in the loop wants to be in the loop. She is talking to a gentleman that we will cherishly and lovingly know as Pencil Dick. And he, you know, is texting, trying to get her to come over, baiting her with promises of wine and the Hulu password for how to get away with murder. She's like, you know what? It's a Friday night. I'm kid free. Why not? But let's let this nigga know that he's not gonna hit. So she clearly states, I am on my period. I'm coming for wine and how to get away with murder. He calls her a cab. She gets in it. He calls her a cab, not an Uber or Lyft. Okay. Arrives at his hotel, at his home. She goes up the stairs. And she sits down. He gives her the glass of wine. And she's like, so where's the how to get away with murder? You know, waiting for the TV, the logins to come in. And I believe at some point the login was put into the TV. She starts to watch. He is moving around the apartment. She has her mind's eye open because, you know, you can't trust niggas. You never know what they up to. Making sure she's not murdered in his home, but still watching how to get away with murder. And then there's a doorbell. You know, the eyes turn. Are you expecting someone? Did you order food? But again, just protectively focuses on how to get away with murder. And up the stairs comes a woman. We will call her Miss April. So I'm looking around. I'm like, what is... All right, this ain't none of my business. Because I told this nigga I'm here for wine and how to get away with murder. I'm going to mind my business. So he introduces us. She sits. I'm trying to remember. We were in a separate room. That was a living room. So she sits on another chair. And they get to talking, kind of chopping it up, small talk. I'm like, this is none of my business. At some point, he gets up. He turns off the TV and he turns off the light in the room. Right? So me and Miss April is just looking at each other like he done shut things off and walked into another room. We supposed to follow what's about to happen. Miss April follows him and I continue to sit because, again, this ain't got nothing to do with me. At some point, he comes back and he's like, why are you sitting here? Come in the other room. I'm like, are you going to put the TV on? He's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, we go in the other room. He turns on the TV, puts on How to Get Away with Murder. And is now trying to coerce Miss April into some type of sexual escapade. At this point, I can't believe what's happened. So I get on my phone and hit the group chat because y'all going live. Y'all going to experience this with me. Y'all are going to experience this with me. So I'm texting them what happens. I'm like, oh, he's invited this girl over. He's trying to have sex with her. He's coming towards me. And I was like, nigga, I'm on my period. Move over. And he's like, oh, you can suck my dick. And I'm like, nigga, please move. Please move from me. He is wrestling with Miss April, who also wants no parts in this. No parts. So she's kind of like, no, get off me. He's still trying to get her into it. At some point, someone gets hurt. I can't remember exactly what happened. Sam, do you remember?
I don't even remember that.
At some point, they're doing something. I think Miss April falls off the bed. I don't know.
Oh, did she hurt her ankle?
Or her head. I don't know. She injured a part of her body. And that was when the sexiness time was over. She gets up. She goes to the bathroom. Was she bleeding? I can't quite remember. But she goes to the bathroom. He hands her some type of napkin. She comes back. They're fussing. And then she leaves. And I, too, at that point, go, yes, so you can call me my cab. And I, too, am going to go. but I did not leave until I got the login password for the Hulu so that I continue to watch How to Get Away with Murder at home. Okay. Because that's what I came for and I wasn't playing with you. Love I don't it. Know.
You're the true final girl. That's a good horror
what
story.
What type of threesome was he trying to plan? And did not inform the parties of this threesome. That he was trying to do so.
That is wild.
What was happening there? These
are literal horror stories.
He's evil. He's evil. Rob, in 3 minutes or less, your horror story.
Right, 3 minutes or less. So my ex and I, we love to have sex. We had a great time. We always had a good time. And we're still cool. So I don't think that this is weird to say. And so we tried new things, always try new things, because his stretch drive is just as high as mine. So we tried bondage. He was very into, like, you know, rope tying and stuff like that. So he tied me up one time. It was my first time. And let's be honest, sometimes it'd be squirt, sometimes it'd be pee. All right, 3 minutes or less. So, you know, we was getting it in, and I was feeling some things, and I was like, whoa. And then some things happened, and it was pee. And I was like, I was embarrassed at first, and I was like, you know what? I'm not that embarrassed because squirt's pee.
There we go. And pee is fluid. And fluid is natural. Yeah. And natural is godly. Like that.
Be like that.
Yeah. Oh, I like
you
that.
Know,
one.
This,
like
this time, you know, it was more pee than fluid, you know? I mean, fluid is pee, but you know, a little more pee. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was still a little embarrassed.
Yeah.
But we kept going. We just moved from the spot. We cleaned the spot. We just kept going. And he was like, that wasn't that bad. And I was like,
I love it.
Yeah. I was like, I don't think I'm going to do that again.
The accidental golden shower.
Not attached, though.
Yeah, but he's like, you know, I didn't think that I would still think that that was kind of hot, but it was kind of hot. And I was like, well, you learn new kinks every day. That's just not a kink that I can give you.
Yeah.
But I'm happy that you got to enjoy it that one point in your life. Yeah. And yeah. And that's why when I be fucking my buddy said, well, baby, can you swear for me? And I was like, we don't know what's gonna happen. It can be swear, can be pee. If you're ready for that level, we could go there.
Level
if you're not ready for it to be, if you're not ready for it to be pee, then we just shouldn't go there. Because we just don't know what's gonna come out.
I love it.
That's good.
I love the disclaimer.
That's a good story. That's a great 3 minutes or less horror story. I have mine as a trailer, so it's just headlines. And they are sorted by genres. So you want some gross out horror, we got back-to-back dick vomiting. You want some psychological thriller, we got the time that Hotep I fucked listened to my episode about him and Hotep 65 times. You want paranormal? You want paranormal? We got getting ghosted by a 9/11 conspiracy theorist. There's a whole episode about that one. And you want slasher? Akul was here for this one. Getting into an unmarked limousine and smoking the man's weed.
Ah, yeah, that was a good time.
It's a horror story.
Yeah.
The life is a horror story.
Yeah.
That's been an episode.
If, shit, this went everywhere.
If this podcast has ever made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a voicemail for our series finale. And if you have special memories or moments of IHU that you'd like to share with us, please drop us a line. It'll make us feel all warm and fuzzy inside. We'll play it on our final episode. To share those thoughts, you can leave a voicemail to 404-491-9158. That will be in the show notes, but again, it is 404-491-9158. Have a lovely motherfucking week, because you deserve to.
You sure do.
Bye. Bye.